Hey, ambitious dentist, welcome to Start Your Dental Practice, the show for existing and aspiring dentists to take your dental practice to the highest possible level. I'm your host, Jonathan Van Horn, CPA and ABV, founder of DentistMetrics.com. In every episode, we aim to demystify the how to start a dental practice problem by bringing on world-class dentists, influencers, and consultants in the dental industry to pick their brain about how to get past the barriers involved from going from no practice to being a practice owner to owning your own successful dental practice. Today's show features Dr. Bill Williams. We're going to go over his story in just a second. But first, here are a few things you're going to hear in today's episode of Start Your Dental Practice. You're going to learn about the dangers of only getting good at one specific thing, which is really a new mindset that's out there that people say, hey, just get really, really good at one single thing. Dr. Williams has an interesting take on that philosophy. We're going to learn about starting a dental practice from scratch after moving with absolutely no network setup. You're going to learn about what a funnel is and how to start building a funnel for dental practices. We're going to learn about the power of investing in your marketing early on and how it draws the right customers into your practice. You're going to learn about what's working right now in marketing and the downside to some types of masterminds that you might want to avoid, as well as the type of mastermind that actually provides helpful information without competing with other members in the group. So Dr. Williams is a really, really, really smart guy. I've seen his stuff online before. I've seen his book advertised, and you can just tell by this interview that he really, really understands the ebbs and flows of the marketing. He understands the ebbs and flows of the business side of this industry. So what we're going to do today is that at the end of today's episode is Dr. Williams actually offers the best of his book, The Marketing the Million Dollar Practice, free for everybody listening. So be sure to listen all the way through this entire interview to get access to that. So here is my interview today with Dr. Bill Williams. Hello, ambitious dentists. Today I have with us Dr. Bill Williams with Solstice Dental Advisors. He's the author of Marketing the Million Dollar Dental Practice. He's started a lot of dental practices. He is currently working 2 days a week in a group practice that he helped found. He's highly productive. He averages over $15,000 a day in the office. He loves teaching other dentists how to be capable of doing the same. His coaching and consulting firm, Solstice Dental Advisors, helps dentists discover how to double their practices by implementing proven marketing, management, efficiency, and leadership skills. And in other accolades he has, he started in not so recent past, he started up a dental practice and within 10 years got that practice up to $5 million in collections, which is an astounding feat. There's a ton of other accolades he has. He was named the small business, the small business person of the year in 2005. Was that right?
That's right. Our Gwinnett County Chamber of Commerce.
Uh-huh. And he's been providing content for marketing for years, and we're really excited to have him on Start Your Dental Practice. So Dr. Williams, thank you so much for coming on.
Good to be here, Jonathan. I found you online. You wrote an article about dental metrics, and it caught my eye because you were measuring things that meant a lot to me. I believe a lot in KPI, key performance indicators. So you just showed up on my radar one day, and we just started talking back and forth, and I kind of like what you're doing. So I'm glad we're connected, and I'm glad I can be on your show today.
Absolutely. Well, we're really excited. So tell us a little bit about your dental story. How'd you get started in dentistry? And tell us a little bit about the entrepreneurship that went along with that.
Well, I was just an average dentist in school. I mean, I didn't have any special training. I went to the Medical College of Georgia back in 1975. I graduated and came out of school and set up my own shop in my own little space that I started. And I didn't have any particular belief that I would become anything different than the other guy down the street or any other classmate. But after about 4 or 5 years, I started realizing that I was a little more aggressive. I was a little more hungry. And I started going back to school. I started going into CE classes. And so from that point on, about 5 years after I got out of school, I went to class all the time. And I probably doubled my knowledge within the first 5 years at that point that I had from when I graduated from dental school. And I kept going and I kept going. And over a period of time, I probably got in 3,000 or 4,000 hours of continuing education.
Wow.
And so that was the beginning of what I felt like was extraordinary versus ordinary, more education.
So what was the education covering? Was it just different, you know, clinical philosophies, you know, working on TMJ, things like that, or different skill sets?
Yeah, I started with TMJ. That was my first love, and I used to go to classes and took every class that was ever taught on TMJ. And, you know, most people have heard of LVI and neuromuscular dentistry now, but I was doing that back in 1979, and I was learning from the people that originated some of those concepts. So I became a neuromuscular dentistry expert back in the 80s and used to teach all around the world. That would be one of the topics that I would teach, orthodontics, TMJ, reconstruction. And we had an institute down in Stone Mountain, Georgia, where we would bring doctors in from all over, teach them in a mini residency. In like 16 days a year, they'd come in and spend with us 4 days a quarter. And we would just go through and train them on everything we knew that would be applicable to the diagnosis, treatment, and the finalization of TMJ cases. That was just one area that we got to be interested in and learned a lot. I did about 10 years of that, and then I got interested in implants. So I did 2 or 3 solid years of implant study. And then after a while, I got interested in aesthetics, and I went through about 10 years with the American Academy of Cosmetic Dentistry. So you stack a bunch of different tools on top of each other that you can do, and eventually, you know, there's nothing you can't do.
Sure.
That's one of the secrets. You know, as I talk to young dentists, I know you have a lot of young dentists in your audience. The key is continual learning. Be a perpetual student.
Absolutely. So there's a lot of people nowadays that like to sell this mentality of get really good at one thing. So do you not believe in that as well?
No. I think that's a recipe for disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Because as soon as that one thing's not in vogue anymore, you don't have much you can do. So I believe you should get good in one thing, and then you should get good in one more thing, and then you should get good in one more thing. So you're following the concept, but you don't stop at one thing. I like to use the analogy of oil wells. You drill an oil well, and it produces. Once you get it dug and primed, you don't have to do that much to keep it working.
Mm-hmm.
But if that oil well ever dries up and you don't have another oil well producing, where are you? And so our concept is let's have a bunch of oil wells, and in dentistry there are 10 of them, 10 dentistry disciplines, you know, perio, endo, oral surgery, ortho, so and so. And we call that decathlon dentistry, 10 different disciplines in dentistry, 10 different sports in the Olympics, i.e. the decathlon dentist. So if you can drill 4 or 5 oil wells, you're going to be a very successful dentist. Now, if you dug all 10 wells and they all were producing at one time, you would be a very super dentist. You know, you'd be a super generalist. So it just depends on what you want to do. But I always teach dentists, don't stop with one niche. Have 2 or 3 niches that you're good at, and have 4 or 5 if you want to be very successful. You may not want to do all 10 disciplines, but you may want to bring in other dentists in your practice that can do those other disciplines. That's one of the secrets that I find, that a group practice offers a lot of benefits. And as you talk about the future, there's going to be a lot more dentists in the group practices than there are now.
Absolutely. Especially with corporate practices going on, you've got to do something to be able to keep everything in-house that you can, because as soon as it slips out of your practice, you have a much higher risk of losing that patient altogether. So, you know, I love the analogy of the oil wells. I'm in Arkansas, so you know, there's a lot of people that invest in oil wells here. And the other part of that is that, you know, you mentioned about having multiple different wells going. A lot of people will pay a lot of money sometimes for oil wells. And if you're not familiar with this, with oil wells, sometimes you'll go to auction and you can look at the history of oil wells. But a lot of the times, you may end up actually buying a hole in some dirt if it's not producing at all. So I like the fact that you're saying don't just do one, because if you just did one, you might end up buying an oil well that is just a big hole in a big pile of dirt at some point. So I like that. So
you know the veneer oil well dried up.
Sure. Yeah.
Because a lot of people started doing veneers, and then suddenly everybody had veneers that needed them, and then didn't have a need to redo them that often. So a lot of the cosmetic practices drew to a close or slowed way up in that big recession we just had. But in our practice, you know, we were doing third molar extractions, and we were doing Invisalign. We were doing things that didn't require a cosmetic bent totally. Sometimes we're dealing with root canals, and you just have the ability to do whatever comes in.
Sure. So let's go back to, you spent a lot of time becoming a master at different trades within the practice. What was your next step?
Well, to get back to the story of what happened to me, I really had a great practice down in Stone Mountain, but I decided that the area was getting troublesome. We had a series of problems where people had crime on our street. And when I noticed that somebody got murdered on the same street corner that our practice was in, and I couldn't keep staff coming down there because it was getting to be a tough neighborhood, I did decide to sell it. And so we went through a period of time in the 80s where I was trying to get ready to sell the practice, in the early 90s where I actually did sell the practice, but I had to take it back. Once I sold it, the guy went belly up and bankrupted on me. So I had to give the practice back. I mean, he had to give it back to me. So I had to stay down there for a lot longer than I had thought about originally doing it. And so at age 48, I started over. Even though I had a good practice, I just felt like I needed to move. It was only doing about $1.5 million. I mean, supposedly that was a good practice at that time.
Sure, yeah. I know a lot of people would love to have $1.5 million practice for
We didn't feel like we were suffering. I thought I had good practice. I mean, I didn't know what the meaning of good was, truthfully. I just knew it was pretty good. And so at 48, I started over. I moved to another town 30 miles away. Didn't take any patients with me, hardly at all, just a couple of friends that followed me. But basically started from scratch in the middle of the year with no yellow pages. And so, that's how I used to market.
So you went, at age of 48, because I know there's got to be a lot of people out there that are just super, super afraid of making a change like that. I know a lot of guys that are like, they're younger than 48 that are afraid to make changes like that because they feel like they're already established where they are. And, you know, you hear so much about how, you know, everyone is so, it's so important to, you know, get some roots in, to become a pillar in your community, to be able to connect with the people that are going to be your patients. So how did you have the guts to be able to make that move?
We put our plan together based on a lot of prayer and guidance. I mean, we didn't just choose to move. We prayed about where we should go. We were actually felt like we were led to a particular place. Mm-hmm. You know, I looked at every corner between Covington and Cumming. And Suwannee, where I located, is right in the middle of those two big areas on the northeast and north side of Atlanta. So I looked at the best place I thought to go, and I said, okay, I need a sign. What is the best thing that's going to lead me to that one place? And it turned out we got stuck in a ditch. And I tell the story in my book about the angel that rescued us. We got stuck in the ditch, and this guy pulls up in a truck not more than 10 seconds after I get stuck and says, can I help you? And he gets a chain out of his truck and pulls us out, and we're safe, and he won't take any money. So I said, that's a good sign. The people around here are pretty nice. And that's eventually where I located my practice, within just a half a mile of that one spot where I built my building, and everything worked out good.
Yeah, it sounds like it. So you made that move. You made that leap of literal faith, to start up the new practice. Did you feel like that your experience as an owner before was? You had to have a lot of guts, like I said before, but I have a feeling you also had a lot of confidence that it was just going to work.
Right. Yeah, I didn't feel like it was going to be any hard job to do it. I already knew how to do dentistry, so that part I had pretty well under control. The fact that I didn't have any patients, I just had a belief that if I got out in the community and told my story to people, introduced myself, that it would get going. And so I did two things. I did a lot of meeting and greeting in the community, and I got out and walked the streets and met the businessmen. Mm-hmm. And joined some network groups, and I did the things that I thought would be appropriate. Got involved with the sports, local sports with the high school. Mm-hmm. And I also did a thing that was kind of smart back then. I got a website. 1997, I got a website. And I became the webmaster in 1998 and took it over and started building it and growing it. And got to be so successful that it was number one in our area, you know, every year for the next 15 years. It always was number one in Google. It always stayed on top. And we got a reputation for being the online people, the most tech savvy. In 1999, I went up to Wisconsin to give a lecture at Chris Cameras. You know, Chris is the marketing advertising guru dentist. So I went up there in 1999 because I had built $1 million practice in 2 years. And it's like, that was unheard of, I guess, back then with a website. And I built it with a website, bringing people in from all over. And so over the next 10 years, we grew $500,000 every year for 10 years total. And that's why we ended up with a $5 million practice. Just never stopped growing. I finally decided to stop growing on purpose in 2008. And I said, I'm going to maintain it this level for the next number of years. We were at the point where our facility was pretty much maxed out. I had three operatories when I started, and I went to 5, 10, then 15 operatories. And I was in a situation where I could expand. That was the situation that was fortuitous. I didn't really plan that ability to expand like that. Looking back in retrospect, that was one of the smartest things I ever was able to do, was stay in the same location and expand each time.
Oh, yeah.
Just take over more space. And we had a design that allowed that. And if I had to couch my future again, I would say have a facility design that can expand if you like your location. If you really love where you are, you know you're going to stay there, get into a space that will allow expansion, taking over some other place if you don't own a building. If you own a building, you can do whatever you want.
Sure. Makes a lot of sense. So that's a lot of what people are doing nowadays is they'll get in a space that has room for, you know, 7-8 ops, but they'll only build out 2 to begin with if they do a true startup. Now, if they do an acquisition, it's obviously different, but we're seeing a lot of that nowadays where they'll build out room for, you know, 7 or 8, but only actually do 2 or 3 in the beginning to help control those costs. Now, unfortunately, a lot of those guys are also spending, you know, a lot of money on those 2 or 3 ops because they're putting all really nice equipment in there. But that's kind of the trend we're seeing. So just by the math that I was doing real quick, you said you've got $5 million a year, you're doing 15 operatories. So for everybody out there, that's almost a third of $1 million per operatory per year. So if you're out there and you've got 3 operatories and you're doing less than $1 million a year with 3 operatories, then Dr. Williams has some knowledge to be able to share with you to know how to increase those numbers, which is again one of the reasons we want to bring him on. So you've moved places. Let me ask you this, because I'm sure this is in a lot of people's minds whenever they move practices as well or consider moving practices. Did you ever miss, because you, like you said, you went out and did a lot of meet and greets with a lot of business owners and a lot of other people in the community. Did you have any, you know, regret that all those people you'd met and networked with and, you know, probably became friends with were still 30 miles the other way?
Now, you're talking about the ones from the previous practice?
Yes, yes.
I didn't meet anybody and I didn't do too much meet and greet in that first 23 years. You know, I built my practice based on a whole different parameter. I was a pillar of the community for 23 years.
Gotcha.
I actually lived in a fairly distant area from the practice. So really didn't become a pillar of the community until my second practice. But let me say this. You'll double the speed at which you grow if you do become a pillar of the community. So
Absolutely.
That's a tip that you already mentioned, that young guys getting out of school should become active in the Kiwanis, the Rotary. And I was doing some of those things in my first practice. Actually, I was Rotarian for 8 years, but I was not involved on the football teams, the basketball teams. Our kids were young or too young to play when I was down there. And so the main thing I didn't do in the first practice was be in the community, as opposed to the second practice. I was in the community a lot. I was part of the Chamber of Commerce, part of the school board, part of, you know, everything that was going on. I was involved up in Suwannee.
We had an interview with Howard Ferran, and he said that the way that he went out and met people was on the weekends. He went door to door trying to meet people to get into his practice to book up patients. He said he did that for 2 years. When he didn't have anybody, he would walk over to a local area and just beat the streets to knock on the door saying, "Hey, I'm a new dentist here, and I've got these fantastic hygienists that have some room available." He said he'd bring like little things with him to be able to, because he said he'd get people to come to the door and be like, "Oh, I've got a toothache. You know, this is perfect." And he'd, you know, check it out. And he said in 2 years, he completely filled out 4 or 5 hygienists' schedule for like 3 months in advance. And I love that story because it showed just this incredible amount of hustle. But
yeah, you got somebody who's aggressive and is not afraid of no. Perfect salesman. That's Howard. I know Howard. He's great.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, okay. So you're in the practice, you've got the new one up and running. You start going out and meeting people. Was it just, you know, you said you used the web, which was, you know, back in 97 to 99, that was revolutionary, I'm sure. So, have you always kind of been on the forefront of new marketing techniques?
Only since 1997 have I been a marketing guru. I didn't pay that much attention to marketing back in Stone Mountain. I was more technical stuff. I was more managerial stuff. I mean, I was quite interested in teaching practice management and efficiency, and we tended to be a little more efficient than most dentists. So we were teaching how to produce $1 million practice back in 1986 was my first year at $1 million. And that was pretty high back then. And so I was more interested in the management secret that I could learn, you know, how to do things faster, better, cheaper, maybe. Mm-hmm. But here, up in Suwannee, I was interested in the outside marketing, the inside marketing. It was mostly internal marketing that we did down in Stone Mountain, just trying to be nice to patients and all that. Posters on the wall, coffee cups and mugs, you know, flowers. But those things you do still, but there's a lot more to it now with the web and the social media. A lot of things we're doing now involve advanced web design, advanced tools that you can actually apply to your website, tools you can apply to email to dig deeper. And so funnel building is a huge thing right now, getting people to come into your office and really know you before they ever meet you.
So for those of us out there that aren't very marketing savvy, explain to everyone what a funnel is.
Everything comes into your office through the door. And so that door would be like the bottom of a funnel, really narrow. So you might get 30 new patients a month if you're an average dentist. I've talked to some dentists around the country who only get 15 new patients a month or even 8. Mm-hmm. We get 150 new patients a month. Now, granted, we're 4 dentists and we can use up 150 patients pretty quick. When I was a solo dentist, I was getting 50 or 60 a month. When I had a first partner, we were getting 100 a month. So I had to figure out some systems to work with a a lot of people very efficiently and make them feel like they had all the time devoted to them in the world. So I've got a couple of things I do that are very unique, and we've been teaching that for probably a decade now, how to see a volume of people but make them feel like they're just taken care of.
It's a very interesting mix of, like you said, you used the internal marketing systems in the beginning, and then you started working on the external marketing whenever you started the new practice. And, you know, anytime, you know, I'm talking to a dentist that wants to grow quickly, we always have to do, number one, you have to see what type of capacity that that practice actually has within the practice. And, you know, to use your practice as an example, you're doing $5 million a year out of 15 ops, you know, $250,000 per op per year, you know, just as a rough number. I'm sure we could get more defined if we needed to, but you know, there's certain people that can, you know, add patients to that base. And there are certain people that just need to to service their current patient base better, which would then increase their internal referrals and everything would be fine as well. There's a lot of people that are searching for, you know, I need new patients. But they're not looking internally to say, is that really the problem I need to solve right now? So I like the fact that you actually had both of those things going for you, and it really kind of shows how much that can propel you upwards to, you know, heights that are, you know, almost unimaginable for some practices. I know plenty of practices that have 3 or 4 dentists in there, and they're not doing $5 million a year. I mean, so how many days are you guys open to do that? Are you guys working 7 days a week?
No, I'm there 2 days a week, and the other dentists are there 4 days a week.
See, that's fantastic. So, what would you say to the docs out there that are thinking, because when I was doing the research, you were doing $15,000 a day by yourself. What would you say to the docs out there that maybe, because we do have some docs that are not just, maybe they're in corporate practice and they're working volume. Maybe they've started a practice in the last 5 years. And what would you say to the docs that are doing, you know, $4,000 or $5,000 a day in production, or maybe even a little bit less, to expand the horizons of how they can? Because if you're doing three times that, I can guarantee you that their minds are just blowing right now.
I used to do that back in 1982.
Mm-hmm. I was born that year. Did that make you feel better?
Yeah. You know, production is only a mindset. You can produce anything you want to up to certain physical limits, of course. One dentist can only do a certain amount. But that amount is not limited to, you know, $4,000 or $5,000 or $6,000 or $8,000. I know dentists that do $20,000 every day. And I'm not even there yet. You know, in a month, I might do 3 or 4 days over 20. But I do every month 3 or 4 days over 20. I had a $40,000 month. I mean, I had a $40,000 day last month. What does that mean? It means that I just said yes more than I said no. The staff asked me if I could do this, and I go, yes. And the hygienist asked me if I could do this, I go, yes. And so one of the secrets to being productive is not to say no all the time. I've had a lot of associates that worked with me who said no a lot. They didn't want to have two patients in at the same time. So they said, no, I want to work on this one and not have somebody waiting over here. So if you want to be productive, you've got to multitask. You've got to understand efficiency. You got to know delegation. And so we've studied and practiced those things. And I guess it's natural. I just feel like I normally will see whatever 20 or 30 patients a day on average, but that includes hygiene checks. Doesn't mean I'm working on that many fillings or crowns or root canals. So I'll see, you know, 8 or 10, 20 patients that are just quick checks all day, but I'll have some major stuff every day. We always try to book 3 columns. I'm always trying to work with a major column, a minor column, and then just a column that doesn't have any production.
Mm-hmm.
So our scheduling systems are pretty sophisticated, and I almost always get lunch, and I almost always get out at 5 o'clock, which is kind of shocking to a lot of people when they see that we're averaging 15,000 a day. I mean, I got lunch on the day we did 40,000 and I got off at 5 o'clock. So it's not magic that you spend lots of time. It's just that you do the right thing, smart thing.
It's very impressive. So whenever you're doing these big days, obviously, you know, if you're doing 30 in a day, you're doing some, more than likely you're doing some pretty big cases, you know, from on a pretty consistent schedule, and you're working 2 days a week. Does the staff just know, okay, if Dr. Williams, if we have, you know, this, you know, big type of case, Dr. Williams is probably going to be taking this case since that's what he's most qualified for. Is that how that works? And then the associates that are maybe a little bit younger and not quite as experienced, they'll do some of the lower per hour scheduled appointments?
I don't believe in treating my younger doctors any different than me. Mm-hmm. And so I've never divided the patients up favorably toward myself. Now, the fact that I've been there longer and I have a little more track record, I tend to get people that come in looking for me. Mm-hmm. And younger guys don't. They'll get people that just come in off the street wanting a dentist. So that's what I found in the last 10 years of my career, that my reputation precedes me, and I do get some nice cases that come in looking for some big help. But I have one doctor that's with me 1 year just out of school, and she's already over $100,000 a month. Sometimes I've got another doctor that's been out 4 years and she's been 90,000 a month several times this year. And I've got one doctor that's been out 5 years and he's averaging 150,000 a month.
That's big
numbers for young guys.
Oh yeah. Yes. That's a lot of money. So
they're operating under me in my office, and so I'm not taking all the big cases, as you can tell.
So how do you build that reputation to be able to get someone? So first of all, there's two parts to this question. Number one is to ask about how you built that reputation so that the person comes enough of the street to be able to ask you how to, you know, to be seeking your expertise out. If you have the younger people there and you're helping them build specifically the reputation, maybe not the efficiency levels that we're talking about, that's the second part of the question.
That's true. They're not as efficient, but they're getting closer and closer every year as they work around and see what I do. You know, if you watch somebody work, you'll get double your efficiency. You'll be double if you just watch somebody else do something. Mm-hmm. But the question again was, how do I get these people in there that want this better dentistry? The way we market a whole lot different than most people. I don't believe in marketing for the cheap patient. I don't believe in marketing for the discount patient. And so I built my reputation on some really good advertising and some really good website stuff that shows before and afters, has good testimonials. You know, everything that's popular in reputation management today, we were doing 5-10 years ago. We started putting our befores and after pictures up on the web far before anybody else. And so a lot of people come in, they choose me because they say, I saw your before and after pictures, and they look really good.
And so do you do all that as far as figuring out what type of marketing you're doing, or do you have a team behind you that assists with all that?
No, I did it all myself, and it was all me for years and years and years. However, in the last few years, I've hired people to do things, and I've put in place things that I don't normally know how to do. They're beyond my technique. So I've hired experts to do some things that I can't do as far as some of the social media or some of the funnel building.
So are these some of the things that Solstice Dental Advisors helps people with?
It is. I've got vendors and I've got partners that put together plans for people so that they can have these marketing tools that we use. That's part of what I started the company Solstice Dental Advisors for, was to help dentists put in place these marketing ideas.
Very interesting. So whenever let's circle back to getting those associates at just doing crazy amounts of volume of not volume, but of production. How do you get someone, like you said, a big part of it is to quit saying no to things and start saying yes to things. How do you get to that person that, you know, so you mentioned that the saying no to, they didn't want to have two people sitting at one time. I've got people that I can remember in the past that I've spoken with about similar circumstances, and they say, you know, I don't feel like that's a good quality of patient relationship for me if I'm having to split time between two people. One person's going to be waiting and yada, yada, yada. Something's going to happen. I'm not going to be able to service them well. And they're, it's just not how I want to do dentistry. How do you get past that to be able to understand that that is a mindset thing rather than a reality, I guess?
Well, it's often reality. If you make patients wait, it is reality. Mm-hmm. But if you've got the systems down and you've got the staff trained, if somebody's actually in the room with the patient talking to them, time goes by and they don't realize it. If you let the patient sit by themselves and just kind of look around and wondering what's going on, then they're starting to think this is not right. And so one of the secrets to our success is that we have a staff member dedicated to be with that patient, and we don't leave them alone. If I'm not in the room, they're not sitting by themselves.
Absolutely.
We have a resting room where they can go and hang out, and if we're running late, they can go and do something that's different. You know, they got a Wi-Fi, they got a massage chair and some aromatherapy going on. So, I mean, there's some fancy stuff that we could put in place to take up their time if we're running late, but hopefully we're not running late.
So what would you say to someone that's doing, like we were saying before, number one, stop saying no. Does that include doing things that, as far as procedures that you may not be very comfortable with, or is that more along the lines of saying, you know, if you're not comfortable doing the procedure, don't do it, but maybe make a note of the fact that you aren't comfortable doing it and go get some training on it?
Yeah, I always promote to dentists, don't do anything you're not competent to do. If you're licensed to do it, but you're not comfortable doing it, then that's just going to be up to you to get trained enough to where you feel comfortable. Most dentists can do any procedure that's possible. I mean, there's nothing that an individual can't do as long as you get the training. There's no special quality about a person that keeps them from doing orthodontics or a root canal or taking out a third molar other than just feeling comfortable. If you know how you're going to do it and you know what you're supposed to do, you can just do it. And that's what I've always taught. Just don't do more than you're capable of. Stretch yourself every time you can. Learn one more thing every few months. You know, keep going to class. Watch the videos. You know, today we've got things online with Dental XP and ViewMedia and a couple of other online programs. There's nothing that you can't learn video at home. It's a gold mine out there right now.
Information has never been more available than it is today. I think there was I was reading the other day that there was, like, in 24-hour span, more content is created on the internet than all of recorded history from prior to 1995. Like, in one single day, that's how much content is created nowadays.
I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, I put up probably 24 hours of content on my course. So people can go up and get trained, and you know, instead of me coming to them and teaching them in their office, or them coming to me all the time, it's already online. So everybody's going online.
It's very forward thinking. So tell us a little bit about that course.
About 5 years ago, I started putting together slideshows and giving courses and teaching people in classrooms. And so I took those same slides and I talked to the video camera instead. And then I recorded my voice and we played the slideshow, and we just put that online now. So I've got 12 modules in a thing called a Solstice 5M Masters Academy. Mm-hmm. And we go through everything it takes to become a $5 million practice. Because what I did, I wrote down everything I did that allowed us to go from zero to 5 million. And everything that we did is something that anybody else can do as long as they just follow the rules, follow the step-by-step pattern. And there's no limits to what you can create as long as you have a pattern to follow. So that's kind of what the 5M is. It's just my pattern that I followed, and I wrote it down step-by-step.
And so that you'll be able to find that if you go to solsticedentaladvisors.com. Is that correct?
Correct. Okay. Yeah, that website basically is all about that program. That's pretty much the only thing I talk about on that.
Okay. Well, so if someone is out there, tell me who would be a good person to be able to go on and view that course.
Every hungry, aggressive dentist out there, that's who's the best for that course. If you're not interested in working hard, if you're not interested in being a perpetual student, this course is probably over your head. It's probably beyond your capability. If you're not aggressive and wanting to grow, like what we call an alpha dentist, mm-hmm. this is probably not the course for you, because you probably want to sit back and relax and just not work that hard. So what we call a beta dentist, this course would not be for that person. This is not a course that spoon feeds you to do one thing and you'll be successful. What this course is about how to take charge of your practice and actually grow it. It teaches you how to be a manager, a leader, a communicator, a marketer. You can be a heck of a good marketer once you finish learning all this stuff that I teach. You could teach other dentists. I bet you could teach other dentists to do what I'm teaching going through the course. It's that much material. But what you got to do, I found, is you got to do the implementation steps as you go along the way. Now, if you don't do the implementation and you just try to read it and have it just happen, it won't happen. So part of the reason we're successful with our practices that are very successful is at the end of each module, we have an implementation step that they need to go through, like the 90-day plan that we use. Mm-hmm. They create the 90-day plan, and then they give it to the staff, and the staff has to make a 90-day plan for themselves. And so the doctor has a plan, staff has a plan. And so everybody's building on one idea, the doctor's plan. And that's just one of the tools we use.
I love it. I love having a point to be going towards, because what's so great about having staff in a business with a point that you're moving towards is that if there's a time limitation involved in that or some type of number behind it, you know, hence dentist metrics, if they get to that point in time and those numbers haven't been met, they're going to you will subconsciously, consciously, at night when you're thinking about things, you're going to figure out why that didn't happen. So whenever you look at it again in another 90 days, another quarter, you're going to have so much more ammunition, because no one likes to set a path or a goal and then deviate and fail. And I tell a lot of people, if you ever set goals with your practice, with your employees, and they don't take it to heart or they don't care, maybe you're not doing a good enough job of leading them. But there's also a really good chance that you just found out who your bad employees are in that circumstance.
It's true. Back in 1981, I took a course called Quest, and that was the first practice management course I ever took. And it really got me to thinking differently from just technical dentistry. And so I started learning how important staff was and how leading the staff was important. It was like 19 goals I set when Ron McConnell asked me to set goals. And I set 19 of them. And before 12 months was out, I had achieved 18 of those goals. And they were just smart goals. You know, they were specific. They were possible. They were time set. All the things a smart goal is supposed to do. We reached all of those goals over about an 18-month period, every one of them. Now,
very
I incorporate that as part of every part of my team's work. We have goals for all the team, and we meet our goals on a consistent basis.
Fantastic. I love it. Goal setting is one of those things that, I'll be honest, before I was a business owner, whenever I was, having to be propelling myself forward every day, I thought goals were a little bit fluffy, mumbo jumbo, people not understanding, how to get to things. But it really is a real motivator whenever you sit down and actually map out where you're going. So I want to touch back on marketing real quick. So we discussed it fairly briefly, but what do you see that's working right now in marketing? Is there anything that's specifically working really well for you guys?
I'm doing something that's very significant right now. It's something that's pretty new to us, and it's a started out called the implant formula, implant marketing formula. Mm-hmm. And it's a big funnel that feeds patients into the practice by pulling them out of the internet, bringing them offline into our office. Once I've got them in the office, then we take over and do the normal thing, which we've always done very well, which was the new patient experience and tour them through the office before we tour their mouth. And, you know, we do some special things in the office. So I know if they come in the office, they're sold. We've got about a 90% close rate on all our cases. We'll, on the average, present about $400,000 or $500,000 worth of dentistry per month, and that's how much dentistry will actually produce that month. That's a pretty consistent number for your dental metric guys out there. The number of dollars you treatment plan will be the number of dollars you produce if your systems are working. So it all, if you check that all your clients, see if that number holds up.
I can tell you, I had a conversation with someone yesterday that said we did $175,000 in treatment diagnosis last month, and we only booked, I think it said they booked like 120, 110. So, you know, that was about, I guess that's about 60 to 70% is what they were booking of actual treatment accepted versus treatment presented.
Well, let me say this. Produced is different from presented.
Sure.
And it doesn't have to be. But I'm not saying that those people that you presented were all the dentistry you did that month, because you got a lot of people you presented way in the past that come in that weren't presented. They've been there for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And so the new people that you get, that's a number. And that number is 400,000 or 500,000 for us, for four dentists. And the production is equal to it. So those are the ties. Production in a month. If you look at the connection between those numbers is how well your systems are working. That's the key I wanted to bring out.
Sure.
If you're presenting a lot more dentistry, but you're doing a lot less dentistry production-wise, your systems are not working, and it's usually your communication. Okay? Now, if you're presenting a lot less, but you're doing a lot more, it means you're doing probably emergency dentistry. You're not doing the big cases. You're just doing a lot of immediate work.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I believe in KPI, and I measure everything just like you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yep.
So another thing that you talked about earlier that you hinted on that I wanted to discuss is you talked about it's usually really easy to replicate success if you have someone that you can just watch and see how they do it. I know for me personally, whenever I was looking into starting businesses, I said, you know, if I could just follow somebody that's really successful, I'm a smart guy. I'll be able to figure out how they did it. I'll be able to emulate it and then replicate it so where I can have it to be my own, you know, shade of success whenever that happens. We talked before we got on to the interview that you actually host a mastermind group, and you've done that for a long time, and you're about to be starting a new one up. Is that correct?
That's right. For about 10 years, I led a group in a TMJ mastermind. That was great. It was technical more than it was managerial, but that was fine. Then that was in the 80s. And then in the 90s, we were part of another mastermind that met with dentists from all over the country. And I realized from those two groups the value of a national mastermind as opposed to a local one. Local guys don't teach each other. They don't share with each other. And they certainly don't wish each other well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you guys out there that are thinking about forming a local study club, you're not going to grow in an open, honest way with your neighbor who may be competing with you. Be very rare for somebody to have a local study club that's really open except for some technical stuff. But managerial stuff, leadership stuff, you're not gonna put it out. But when you get to a national level, everybody's trying to help each other. And so there's a lot more camaraderie and a lot more personal interest in you doing well. So that's what we found, and that's what we do. So I'm going to start another version of the mastermind coming up in January. And we'll be putting together a special group for about 12 dentists. And I've got about five already committed to be in it. So we still have a few openings, and be glad to make it open to some of your listeners if they check in with us right away.
That's great. So to recap that, you've got 12 dentists that you're going to let them kind of peek over your shoulder to see exactly how you do what you do in your dental practices. Is that right?
Not exactly. I'm not going to do an over the shoulder. So I don't want them to get the idea that I'm going to bring them in the office to show them how to do a crown prep or how I run my office.
Sure.
We may do some of that at some point, but that's not part of the mastermind. But it'll be one-on-one at my house. And we're going to be in a group teaching each other, and I'm going to be leading the group. The secret of a mastermind is you got 12 people that are interested in the success of one person. And then you shift chairs, and the next person, everybody's interested in helping that person improve. So everybody goes through what we call a hot seat. We all focus on their practice. We all help each other. And we give workshops during the mastermind sessions to specifically teach on one point. And we have an underlying curriculum that everybody's going through at the same time. So everybody's learning the new patient experience. Everybody's learning how to market the way we do. Everybody's learning how to communicate and share the staff members saying the right things to the people so that this thing flows. And you can see that 50 or 60 new patients a month if you're two doctors.
Absolutely. And so anyone out there that's listening, if you've listened to any of the other episodes of this podcast, you know that I am a huge fan, a huge supporter of people receiving business coaching to have, you know, a second opinion on different items. I'm a huge fan of mastermind groups because it does the same exact thing as having a business coach. Is rather than having one person you're speaking with, you've got a group of people supporting you and then holding you accountable to actually go and do the things that you are trying to do. Because what happens a lot of times when people set goals is that they get started and they hit a road bump and they get just they get mentally drained or physically drained, or they start making excuses of, well, you know, maybe I can't get to that goal because of this or this. And that support group of the mastermind is what can really get you through those things really, really easily.
I think I talked to you earlier in another conversation about you were in some masterminds that were business masterminds. And I've been a part of some of the GKIC and, trainings that were related, Armin Morin and a couple of other guys. So being in a mastermind outside of dentistry has been a big help to me to see how people run businesses. And I've actually been in a mastermind for 3 years to learn how to be a dental coach. And there's a lot to being a coach. There's a lot to being in a mastermind leadership position. So it's a good thing to be in a situation where you're being guided, I think.
Absolutely. So if you are interested in joining this mastermind that's coming up in January, you can feel free to text the word practice to 33444. That's practice to 33444. And we will have a way for you to be able to get in contact with Dr. Williams to be able to join the list and get some more information about, you know, what's required of you, what's required of Dr. Williams, and how the support group he's going to be setting up for you. And I do urge everyone to reach out if you feel like you're going to be a good fit, if you're one of those alpha dentists. You know, I can just tell from speaking with Dr. Williams, he's got a lot of information in his head that he's been ahead of the curve on so many things just in discussing with him. I mean, as a side note for everyone here, we host these things on Google Hangouts, and we have so many people that have problems figuring out how to get into the Hangouts, and Dr. Bill just figured it out just right away of how to get in. So he's very on top of what's happening right now. So, you know, I would love to see what happens with the people in your mastermind. And if you go through the mastermind with Dr. Williams from this podcast, please keep in touch with me and we'll share your story as well.
We'd be glad to have anybody from Dental Metrics. And Jonathan, you've been an excellent host. I appreciate all the good questions. People that are on this, if they want to get a free copy of my book, they can get one on the website. So just anybody who's out there, free download of that book is available.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time today. The one question we always leave everyone with is, I think you're going to have a good answer for us on this one, is if you were starting over today, if you close down Suwannee Group Dental Practice and you're going to start another practice today, how would you go about it?
Well, I would go through and exactly plan out what I wanted to do. I would put it on paper, and then I would have it pictured out so perfectly that I knew everything that was going to happen 5 years from now. And then I would back up and go, okay, what's got to happen in 4 years, 3 years, 2 years, 1 year? I'd back it up and say, well, what have I got to do in 1 year for this to happen? And then I would say, what am I going to have to do next month? And so I would have the plan, I would back it up, and I would say, starting from the beginning, I've got to do all these things, so it's already laid out, to reach that goal, whatever that goal is, 5 years. Once you have that five-year plan in place, you just plug in the pieces. You know exactly what's going to happen before you start. And the only way you can do that, if you've never done it before, is to have a coach or a mentor tell you what pieces go where. And if you take the time to write it down first instead of just starting out hoping, you're going to be a lot more successful. It all comes down to goals, vision, planning, strategic planning is what I call it. Mm-hmm. And we do all that in the Solstice 5M Masters Academy online. And in the mastermind, we're going to lock it in with the people here in front of us with a lot more accountability, with a lot more hand-holding. But getting down on paper and making a plan, because whatever you put down is what's going to happen in that 5 or 10 year period. And that's what I would do.
It's very hard to have something else happen than what you put down on that piece of paper whenever you actually start thinking about it. And then you have to, like you said, you got to track it. You got to make sure it's happening. If it's not happening, then you got to put on your big boy pants and figure out, hey, why is this not happening? And then make it happen.
Yep. Starting off without a plan is just the wrong way to go. So it's ready, aim, fire.
Yeah. I think there's a Winston Churchill quote that says, plans are worthless, but planning is essential.
That's right.
Which is very, very, very true to today. So, Dr. Williams, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you so much for giving to our audience. If anyone wants to contact you, if they have any other follow-up for questions, is there a good way for people to be in contact?
My email address, just to give them that, drbillwilliams@gmail.com. Be glad to answer an email from anyone. SolsticeDentalAdvisors.com. Website would give them tons of information about what we do, and I'll be glad to take a phone call if somebody wants to call me also.
Okay. Well, all right. Fantastic. Dr. Williams, again, thank you so much, and have a great day. So special thanks to Dr. Williams for coming on Start Your Dental Practice today. Now, Dr. Williams has been on and stays on the cutting edge of marketing way before many others in the industry. He just always seems to know what's going to work next. So he's really the kind of person, he doesn't just talk about it, he actually lives it. So again, as the free bonus for you, the listener, Dr. Williams has made the best of his book, Marketing the $1 Million Practice, available to anyone looking to further their practice, market themselves like a powerhouse, and move their business towards millions of dollars a year in revenue. So to get that, simply text PRACTICE to 33444. Again, that's PRACTICE to 33444, or visit startyourdentalpractice.com/bonus if you're outside of the U.S. And don't forget, if you're interested in his mentorship, in his mastermind group, where he's going to be really, really, really hands-on with you to be able to tell you how to get to $15,000 a day in production, shoot us an email, let us know, opt in, and you'll be sent that information as well. So that's it for today's episode, but that doesn't mean that the learning and implementation have to stop there. I've created a free report called The 15 Numbers That Will Make or Break Your Dental Practice. This report has been downloaded over 1,000 times by dental professionals. So if you want your free copy of this report that's going to outline what the most important numbers are in any dental practice, and it also includes how to look at your numbers, how to set goals. It has a whole slew of really important information that is the culmination of all of my experience as a dental CPA. Then just go to startyourdentalpractice.com/free gift. That is startyourdentalpractice.com/free gift. And so that's it for today, Ambitious Dentist. Again, I'm Jonathan Van Horn, CPA and ABV. I'll see you next week with another world-class practice owner or consultant that will help you start your very own dental practice. Thank you guys so much for being a part of the Start Your Dental Practice community. If you enjoyed today's episode, please do me a favor and go to startyourdentalpractice.com/iTunes to leave your honest feedback and review on iTunes. It's going to help me create a better experience, a better show, a better podcast for you, the ambitious dentist. Your feedback really does help. Regardless if you liked the show today or not, if you didn't like the show, let me know, because it's going to help me create a better show and podcast for you. Lastly, if you know of anybody that would benefit from today's episode and today's content, today's guest, please feel free to share with them on social media or through email.